gentlemen, this is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Safety and Transportation Committee for Wednesday, September 21st, 2011. Just to let everyone know here, this meeting is being audiotaped, and present at the start of the meeting would be Alderman Swiston, Alderman Yates, Alderman Fuller, our committee clerk Danielle Delaney, myself, Alderman Ciccone, and from the Transportation Division, our transportation engineer, Jim Dinella. Welcome, Jim. And congratulations on your newly elected position office. I don't know how does the term go?
Just we're a new division.
Just a new division. New division of power.
We'd be newly appointed. I don't think I'd elect it.
Yeah, newly appointed. Our first item for this evening is going to be item number 254-11. Nancy Bratis, 57 Theodore Road, filing on August 15, 2011, an appeal from the decision of the Traffic Council on July 28, 2011 to deny Traffic Council 30-10 as follows, requesting a pedestrian warning beacon with a crosswalk at Theodore Road and Parker Street, Ward 8. Jim, you can probably take it away. We're going to have a presentation by Jim, and then we can discuss what exactly went on in the Traffic Council meeting so we can get everybody on board with this item. So, Jim, take it away.
All right, so the Traffic Council heard back over the summer a request for a crosswalk and a pedestrian warning device at the location of across Parker Street near Theodore Road. Just to get everyone oriented, north is up this way, like Route 9 would be up somewhere around here. And you head down towards 72 down that way. There is no crosswalk at this location today. The reason why Traffic Council had to hear the item is Traffic Council doesn't normally hear requests for crosswalks, but because of the characteristics of the traffic on Parker Street, it required more than just a crosswalk to be striped there. So it wouldn't be safe just to paint some lines and put some signs up. I'll get into those details in a second. To let everyone know what else is in the area, there's an existing traffic signal down at the intersection of Parker and Mueller Road. It's about 1,000 feet to the south. And there's an existing crosswalk about 500 feet to the north at Hay Road. So this is the crosswalk policy I made mention of. This is adopted by the board in 2007. It's got some specific criteria. The one we're most concerned with is if the ADT, the normal daily traffic, exceeds 9,000 vehicles per day, we need to put an additional special treatment. So that's why this item, when it came in, they requested a pedestrian warning light at the same time. So this is the data we have for Park Street. Park Street has nearly 14,000 cars today, so that well exceeds that 9,000 limit. The speed limit on Parker is 30 miles an hour. Our mean speed that we measured is about 33 miles an hour. The 85th percentile speed, which is the speed at which 85% of all cars are going at or below, is 39 miles per hour, which is quite fast. So we've done some counts out there. The initial counts we did, and we kind of separated them into three different categories, pedestrians that cross at Wheeler, pedestrians that kind of cross in the area between Roosevelt and Theodore, and pedestrians that cross at the crosswalk at Hayden. And the ones we're more concerned with today are this area. And when we initially counted this in December, obviously we did not have very high numbers. Counted again in May prior to the last traffic council hearing, and we still weren't reaching that 20 pedestrians per hour limit that's required to paint and crosswalk. However, when this was counted again on Wednesday in September, we did actually exceed that 20, so it would be eligible for a crosswalk. So what we're at, John, let me go a little further. So It exceeds the maximum for just a simple installation of crosswalk, of a simple crosswalk setup. And it's near the maximum speed for any type of crosswalk, but it's below it, so we can put the crosswalk in. So now it's, you know, how do we make this into the safest crossing? Well, this is probably something along the lines of the type of crosswalks we'd be looking at. We'd probably have to put some sort of median island in the middle of Parker Road with some sort of pedestrian warning device. These are probably the most typical things we'd see, and this is what we'd be looking to put in on Parker Road if the board decide to approve the appeal that was asked for. It's funny, when this did get appealed, we weren't even able to put a crosswalk in. So now that we do have the minimum pedestrian threshold, we can. So it's kind of now up to the board to decide what they'd like to do, because we do have the volumes out there now. I will say that a crossing like this will probably cost somewhere in the range of $50,000 to $60,000.
What about the one on the bottom left?
These are all pretty similar. I showed you so that you can kind of see what the median item looks like. But these don't actually have. We will be looking for something that also has the these have pedestrian warning lights.
Are these from Newton?
No.
I was wondering where that undeveloped land in the lower left was, and why they needed a crosswalk to get to nothing.
I believe this is actually part of a multi-use path. You can see like that crossing on this bike, and it goes down that way. This is actually taking order.
It's still going to nothing.
But these are examples of typical, they call them two-stage crossings, so pedestrians only have to cross one flow of traffic at a time. So you think if there's nearly 14,000 cars per day, you're only crossing half of that, and then you get to a safe place, and then you have to cross the other half.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have Alderman Swiston, then Alderman Fuller, then Alderman Yates.
Okay. I kind of have a two-part question. If you can flip back to your previous map thing. Yeah. Just to be clear, can you indicate, I know we've got the middle school down Wheeler Road, and we've got the high school, and where is the elementary school that they're heading towards is?
It's north of the pitch.
Just north of the pitch. Okay. So, I mean, and given your numbers, given that the volume is high during the good weather in May and September, I'm going to guess that it's because it's school traffic that's upping the crosswalk traffic. Okay, so my second part question is, now go back down two slides. What is the process? I mean, there's the question of safety and applicability, and then of course the next question is dollars, which I realize is not our problem, but I just want to know, like, what would the process be? Because, we may want to crosswalk there, but then comes the deal of trying to find where the money can come from, right?
Well, because the type of crosswalk we're looking at doing here is the volumes, we need to put a median in. The next step would be to docket something with public facilities to add a median at this location and kind of change the profile of the road right there. Mm-hmm. If that were to be approved, then the mayor would have to request the money to construct it. So it would be a couple more steps to go.
Okay, and because it's the speed that is guiding us to having to put the median, I would imagine that the width of the road would also guide whether that's feasible or not. I'm not asking you to make judgment because obviously it has to go through review, but given the criteria, is it wide enough there for us to put a median?
The road, that's the thing. I mean, the road would likely have to be widened a foot or two on each side, and that's why the cost starts to get in that $50,000 to $60,000 range.
Okay. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I went right. It's not the speed, it's the volume. That's the reason why.
Oh, it's the volume of traffic. Okay. But either way, I do understand that there's a difference of the physical space, the safety issue, as well as the financial issue. And of course, safety comes first, but just trying to figure out what we needed to adjust for the other two. Okay, thank you.
Alderman Fuller?
Just making sure I understand. The reason Traffic Council had turned it down was you thought there were insufficient pedestrians. With the new September data, there are sufficient pedestrians so that what has been asked for does make sense?
Based on the data that we have, a crosswalk could be put in. I guess you could say it warrants it. Just because it warrants it doesn't mean it has to go in, but it does meet our criteria for straightening the crosswalk. Yes, and Traffic Council did traffic council turned it down, and the primary reason was that it didn't meet the DPW's crosswalk policy. So since a crosswalk could never go in there, we can never even put a warning light in with no crosswalk.
Okay. So it now meets our policies, and so traffic council, it's hard to read their mind, but they might very well approve it with the new data. Or you don't want to hypothesize.
I mean, it's possible, but I mean, it's kind of beyond traffic council now.
That's right, fine. And my understanding is there are quite a few lights that have been approved by the board that are ahead of this in the queue, and you're saying the mayor decides on the order of the queue for the funding?
Well, as I'm sure you all know, that, you know, we're going through a capital planning process. Since this hasn't been approved yet, I have no idea where it would fit in, how high it would get ranked. That's not a question that I'd be able to answer because I'm not part of the ranking process. But it would have to fit into that queue somewhere.
But I'm right that there is a queue of other lights that have been approved and not installed because of funding shortages.
There are, I think, 3 traffic signals that have been approved that have not been built in the last 12 years, I think.
Okay.
I think Beacon and Grant is one of them. Mm-hmm. That was approved in 1999. But, I mean, I don't think we're necessarily grouping stuff into things that have lights and things that are just for pedestrian safety. I think that the list is more comprehensive now. You're lumping everything together.
And are there other pedestrian lights that have been approved but not funded?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so this would be at the top of that particular list.
Actually, there was a in the spring we did approve one for Walnut Street. However, we know that Walnut Street is likely going to be reconstructed by the state in the next 5-6 years. So the knowledge was that if the city could not fund it, hopefully it would get added on to the state job.
Right. And the $50,000 to $60,000 estimate includes both the median work and the lights.
Correct.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. I have Alderman Yates, and just for the record, we are joined by committee member, I'm drawing a blank, J. Alderman Hani, and
couldn't remember the first name.
Alderman Fishman. But I have Alderman Yates, and then I have Alderman Fishman for questions.
Thank you. 2 questions. The pictures on the right appear to be without any traffic lights.
I showed them just so you have it. I couldn't find a good picture of one that had the lights on it. I wanted to show them to you just so you'd have an idea from kind of standing back what the median itself would look like. But you'd have to imagine these with the lights on.
We couldn't do them paralleling one of those?
If we want to talk about doing a safe crossing on a road that's got the speed that it does, that Park Street has, and the volumes that Park Street has, it would be my department's recommendation that it includes both the median and the lights.
Warning lights, but not full crosswalk lights.
No, it'd be
activated.
You actually wouldn't have to push the button. It'd be passive detection, so that when you stand, say right here, it puts a call to the light, and the light goes on.
You have to stand on something to activate it, or just it's
the detectors we've started to use. They're called microwave infrared detectors. They detect both motion and body.
How broad a section?
They're adjustable, so.
Okay. Other question is, Theodore Road, which is what's proposed, does that have direct access to Meadowbrook, I'm sorry, Brown and South?
It wouldn't.
One of the neighbors might be able to answer that better than me.
It goes all of them.
So you cross here.
Theodore goes to Roosevelt, and then that's the main road in and out of.
Okay, so there's no obstacles if you cross there. You won't have to go up to Wheeler or anything. Okay, fine. That's all I want.
Alderman Fishman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Alderman Fuller, and others asked about what the sense was in traffic council. And I guess it's on the last page. I'm sorry, the next to last page. is the item and the notes from Burnett. And I think, again, I'm paraphrasing it because those may feel differently, but I think all the council members got a real feel about the safety issue. In fact, one of the council members, Mr. Graff, there was a motion at one point to actually hold the item, partly I think because of my suggestion, but maybe others, that an additional count be done. And I think as we see from Jim's counts, it sort of bears out. And I actually think that, you know, 27 is probably a low number. The fear factor, you know, nobody wants to cross. There'll be a fair number of people who would find it much more convenient crossing at Truman, crossing at Roosevelt, crossing at this area, rather than going down. And you'd probably have that. So I think, you know, the safety factor was a big issue. Nancy Bratis, who's at 57 Theater, who actually brought this item in front of us on appeal, along with, you know, many of the neighbors, kind of a thick listing here of a survey that was done not only of people who were at Countryside School, which was sort of the main thrust, but also people who were at Brown and I think at South. There were three schools, the two on, you know, on the other side. And when you go through, which I did tonight, just to kind of refresh myself, you go through each of the comments that people made, which is, you know, somewhat anecdotal, random to some extent. You know, people said, you know, I don't care. Some people said, I don't care. Other people said the real problem is up at Parker and Route 9. There's actually a whole history of problems along Parker Street. But I think there was a real sense that there's a lot of movement here, and I actually had taken some photographs, and I'm looking at them again, that you have the 52 bus that goes down Parker Street. You have school buses that drop off. Kids actually have to go from one side of the street to the other. A lot of activity, and I think as Jim said, which is one of the real problems, is that, you know, 30 miles an hour is not 30 miles an hour, it's 25% higher. In fact, it's 35% higher at 39. It's, you know, I actually think Needham Street is a little bit safer to cross than Parker Street, and I hate crossing Needham Street. And the reason for that is, at least when you're out there on Needham Street, you can put up your hands. Here, they're moving so quickly, and there's not a lot of... And I think Jim's median island is interesting. So, the other is that when I did look at the photographs that I had taken, and in fact, Nancy Bratis had taken, you do have you know, a median strip down the, as you have them, not near that area, but so I think that 2 feet that, you know, is possible for the widening would actually, you know, probably take some of that green as opposed to more pavement. So I guess, you know, I came here tonight to argue the safety item and kind of accent it. I don't think we need to argue that anymore, but probably, you know, and John may have some other thoughts, but we probably need to kind of move on is what's the best solution, and then, you know, get the mayor to, because this is, I mean, the fear in people crossing the street right now is pretty significant, and probably along with public facilities, there's a couple of other more than tweaking items, such as no right on red at Wheeler onto Parker, which is one of the reasons I think, you know, you may not get as many people even at that intersection, even though there's a light. You know, if you're walking in the street, people are crossing the right on red. You know, if you're a parent, you're going to be a little clearer than that. And it's an education curve, like everything else. You know, people just don't stop these days. I was in Barcelona last week, I'm not bragging, but just to say that the traffic there is about 5 times worse than any place I've ever seen. And yet, you know, you have these lights, people actually stop. They don't, not one person ever goes through these pedestrian locations. And I saw hundreds of cars come to a stop. So, you know, it's a learning curve. We need to do better on that. But I think, you know, I think we're over the hump about the safety of this location. Now it's a question of how we deal with it. Thank you.
Okay, we're joined by Alderman Friedman and from the planning department and closest as well. Is there any further questions? Alderman Swiston?
I move to approve the appeal.
You move to approve the appeal.
Which means if it gets approved, it means it gets overridden.
To overturn the traffic counts.
Correct.
Okay, just to give some folks the heads up before we vote on this. We can vote on this without resolution to have the DPW install a crosswalk. Okay?
Without the median? Or without the light, you mean?
That's a recommendation, like Jim said. Those would be recommendations.
I do not recommend a crosswalk without lights.
Can you say one more time, repeat what you just said?
The board can, without resolution, have the DPW install a crosswalk there.
Okay.
But that's not the item.
But that's not the item that we have in front of us. So just to give you the heads up, this is just something that you can have in the back of your head. What Jim was telling you earlier is it's their recommendation. If you were to put a crosswalk there, that you would want some kind of device there with the crosswalk.
Not only a device, but also a median. The device to catch the attention of the median, because of the speed that people go down that street, you need some place for them to stop in the middle before you go, because you're not going to make the whole road in one shot.
Correct. Now, here's what we have to think about. Is this... What we have to vote on here in public safety and transportation is the appeal. We have to keep in our heads, forget about the money part of it. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's for the safety of this area. That's what we're supposed to be thinking
right.
about. Okay?
Right.
So the money part of it goes to a different committee.
Yeah, public facilities, and they talk about the
median, and they talk, because that's going to be a change in the roadway, and the money part of it obviously will go to finance. But for us here to vote on this today, we're talking about safety, and we're talking about children crossing at this intersection. So we have a motion to
approve the appeal.
Okay, is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for arriving late. So let me make sure I understand it. So to overturn the original decision means that we would install a warning beacon with a crosswalk.
No.
In this or not?
Well, it's saying that's not part of our decision. We don't get to decide that. He was saying what would end up being recommended. The only thing we're deciding is, are we overturning the traffic council's decision.
Okay. So then it gets remanded back to traffic council or just to
no,
traffic engineers?
No, it doesn't go back to traffic council.
So then
council.
It goes to the traffic engineers and the administration
to
determine what would be the best.
Something would have to be docketed for the change in the roadway with public facilities.
Okay.
And to finance
and
for the
then,
money.
So it would still need to go, it would go through further process, but just it basically
correct.
Keeps this alive and
correct.
Okay.
Alderman Fuller.
Perhaps at least the notes of the meeting could indicate, and I suspect I'm not alone, and whoever wants to join me, that speaking for myself right now, I think we should be strongly considering a crosswalk, a pedestrian warning beacon, and a median.
Right.
We can leave that as maybe a resolution even to go out that way,
right.
Which is fine. But the thing that we're voting on right now is
the safety of having, and
to keep into consideration the safety of the children, well, anybody crossing at this intersection. I'm going to tell you something: 39 miles an hour. You might not think that's fast. That's fast.
But I think that's the. Alderman
Swiston.
But I think that's a consideration of the format because, as Mr. Danilo was saying, that what we want is a safe means of crossing at this intersection. And, in fact, that at this speed and volume, actually actually putting a crosswalk is probably more dangerous than not putting one at all. So what I believe that I'm voting for is I'm voting for something needs to be done to enable safe crossing at this cross. And I'm not saying it's a crosswalk, because clearly just a crosswalk without lights and all that kind of stuff, I will not agree as being a safer way of crossing that intersection. I'm just saying, I do think that we need to make it safer to cross there, and safer than nothing. And a crosswalk without lights and median is worse than nothing, so I would prefer not to be going in that direction.
Alderman Fishman, then I have Alderman Honey, then I have Alderman Yates.
Two things. One is, I just want to make sure it's in the record that Alderman Lappin had sent the communication to the committee.
We have it.
And I guess the other point, which, again, as I understand it from Jim Bell, is that you couldn't just put a crosswalk. You need special treatment given several factors.
Alderman Hardy?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with this. And I would just ask if we can vote to approve the appeal with a recommendation from public safety that with the recommendation, strong recommendation from the committee, that public facilities and finance consider taking this as a complete recommendation here, because as you said, you know, everybody wants crosswalks, but people don't always think it through that you can make it
worse.
A heck of a lot more dangerous. And I have people in my ward all the time saying, why can't we get a crosswalk there? And they don't think it through. This absolutely needs to have all of this done as a package. So if we can recommend that, you know, on with our vote, I would like to do that.
Would you like that amendment?
I'll take that as a friendly amendment. Absolutely.
Okay.
Jim?
Alderman Yates.
That may be useful for the edification of our colleagues, but I think it's pretty clear from what the representative of the Transportation Division of the DPW has said, that it's not going to be done without the island. So it's nice to throw it in, but I don't think we have to worry that somehow it'll slip by islandless, medianless, whatever.
Thank you. I would just like to go on record on a couple of things. Number one, I agree with overturning the decision of Traffic Council. I'll be voting for that. Just a couple of things. I think, as Alderman Lappin pointed out in her comments, there's almost a catch-22 in certain traffic situations. In order for there to be a warrant for a crosswalk, there have to be enough crossings at a point. But if the roadway is dangerous enough that nobody dares cross it, you'll never meet that warrant. And so this is a problem that I know our traffic planners and engineers are aware of, but I don't know the best way to think about it, but I think that needs to be taken into consideration in future actions. In particular, you know, within Ward 8, there are five schools that have approximately 4,000 students in them, okay? It's close to 40% of all of Newton Public School students attend school in Ward 8. Because of what's there. And they're all pretty close to Parker Street. So, you know, we have, if you will, a regional planning problem here of having to get pedestrians and bicyclists safer ways of getting there. We have eliminated school buses for many kids this year because of funding issues, or at least made it more expensive for kids. So probably more are getting dropped off by cars, adding to the traffic in this area. And if there's a comprehensive way of thinking about ways of enhancing both pedestrian and bicycle safety, it gives us a chance to sort of reverse that trend. So thank you. Just put that on the record.
Certainly. Okay, we have a motion. Is there any further discussion? Okay, we have a motion to approve the denial with the amendments to overturn the denial, and we have the recommendations from Alderman Hardy to go in as a friendly amendment. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor? Six. 6-0.
Appeal approved.
The appeal's been approved.
Thank you. OPS, we're ready.
Jim, what can I Warning beacon.
You're welcome, folks.
Let's bang out the NAN. Okay. Then maybe we have a little time to go. I'd love to
listen to that.
Okay, we're going to jump over to 256-11.
No,
147.
I'm sorry, 147.09. Alderman Vance, Hesperhan, and Danbury requesting discussion with members of the administration on such possible adoption by Newton City Government on a program such as Zipcar Fast Fleet Vehicle Sharing and Management System as a means of reducing the cost of vehicle usage by city employees and the impact of such usage on the environment. Alderman Hesperhan has been the one that's been talking about this, and he's given us the okay to have it moved from the docket. If there's anything that he sees that he wants to add further, he'll dock it into item. Okay, so the recommendation has been NAN.
I'll support that. I'll just note that we do have two zip cars in the Newton Center parking lot right now.
Right, so they rented two spots.
So yep. we're on our way.
That.
Are there talk of any more anywhere else?
Those are not in city use, is that correct?
Well, the city could use it, too.
But right now, they're just
private.
If I can.
Go ahead, Jim.
I think the original point of this document was to be more of a complete service force for city. It would be separate from the type of ones that any everyday person would have.
Right. What this was, I believe, was to address, for a number of reasons.
Exactly.
I believe this came up as sort of an offshoot from the discussion of why do we have so many city cars? Why do so many city people have cars? You know, so that's what
so
we're
the,
from.
I move NAN.
Yeah.
All in hand, moved NAN. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, NAN. 6-0.
Oh, I remember that one. This goes back to Alderman Friedman's point. The whole reason people don't use that bus stop is so incredibly dangerous to get there. They'd rather not risk their lives to walk over there.
Okay. This is 65-10, Alderman H. Fair, Johnson, Swiston, and Harney, asking the MBTA to provide safer access to Bus Route 52 for residents of Nahant Woods and employees and students of Mount Ida College. Just to refresh people's memories, we talked in length about moving bus stops, having bushes trimmed, having trees trimmed, having Mount Ida go over and see if they would use their bus service to shuttle people back and forth to Newton Center. Alderman Lappin has been over to a couple of meetings over there, and they're not sure what they really want to do just yet about this. So
which
she's made the...
Who did she meet with?
Kurt and the people from the Nahant Woods.
Okay, all right.
Okay, and from what she's explained to me over the telephone, they're not in a position right now. They're not in the position right now as a group to go and talk to Mount Ida about the shuttle. There may be something in the future, but not something right now. And she's asked me to just to present it just the way that I have, and she's recommending NAN.
Ward Alderman, fine.
Is there any further discussion on it?
No.
Motion made by Alderman Friedman from Ward 8 has just made
a demand.
Well, I was thinking both Alderman Gates and I are on this, either one of us.
I'll cover you guys.
Okay. All those in favor of NAN? 6-0. All those in favor?
With apologies.
6-0.
I apologize for the public facility.
Right. Sorry about that, folks.
Right.
I apologize.
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. 9:25.